This morning, we're back in Revelation again. We're in chapter 13, where we left off the previous week. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18. And today, we're going to get a bio on the false prophet. So as we open up our passage today, we're going to see the arrival of what the Bible, or what John is calling the second beast. That is the false prophet. And at this point in the tribulation, what we see that has finally come together and what's developed is something called an unholy trinity. Now, we know that Satan is the master of deception. He mimics God at every point. And we know that God exists as a trinity, so the master of deception will have developed into an unholy trinity in the middle of the tribulation. So who's the first person of the trinity, which would compare himself to God the Father? Well, nobody else except Satan. Nobody could be that arrogant. The second person of this unholy trinity is the Antichrist, who is the earthly figure who claims to be God in the temple in Jerusalem, and he demands to be worshipped. And the third person of this unholy trinity is the false prophet, who, like the Holy Spirit, who points everyone to Jesus, he's going to point everyone to the Antichrist. So this is really interesting as we dig in this morning. You know, we've had false prophets for thousands of years, going all the way back to the prophets in the Old Testament. And another quality that all false prophets have is the art of deception. It's what they're all about. So with the Antichrist becoming the political leader of the world in the first half of the tribulation, he now becomes the spiritual leader in the second half of the tribulation. Remember what happened at the halfway point? He went into the temple in Jerusalem and became the abomination of desolation, and he claimed to be God and began to kill Jews and believers. So as he is a spiritual leader in the second half, he's going to need someone in charge of promoting him globally. That's what this is all about. So the job of this false prophet is going to be to point people to what they want to hear, not towards who they should be. You know what's interesting, you guys? That's what Satan's doing today. He's prepping us for this. Because Satan is painting a picture, even in the church, through the body of Christ, throughout the world, He's turning people to a point where they want to follow somebody that's going to tell them what they want to hear. Paul talked about that would be a sign of the end times, not necessarily towards what they should be. And as the devil approaches the end, he's going to intensify his efforts in deception. This is going to be Satan's last and most powerful deceiver. The false prophet is going to be the high priest of this new religion during the tribulation that is going to glorify the Antichrist. He's going to deceive the world into believing that their only hope for salvation in this world is going to be the Antichrist. You know, it's interesting. We have had people like this before. This is just going to be much worse. We can't help but think about Hitler during World War II. That was such an incredible orator that he would go on rants for 3 hours and nobody would leave. Everybody would be there and just be spellbound. And he would just almost hypnotize people. But as this false prophet comes on the scene, his oratory power is going to put Hitler to shame. He's going to be able to bring people to tears. He's going to speak with authority and passion, and he's going to be very convincing, and he's going to move the masses to get in line with the Antichrist. So when the Antichrist comes to full power in the second half of the tribulation, he's going to destroy every other form of religion as he claims to be God. And the false prophet is going to be put in charge of enforcing all the worship towards the Antichrist. So today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at five distinguishing marks of this false prophet. And the first description that we're going to look at is he's going to appear to be a gentle side of evil. Chapter 13, look at verse 11. John is writing, he says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth." So the reference here of the false prophet coming up out of the earth shows that this is the opposite of something coming from heaven. You know, we saw the original beast coming up out of the ocean. And the ocean we found from Daniel refers to multitudes of people. Well, this coming out of the earth is just in juxtaposition to something coming out of heaven. And this person will be the epitome of the New World Order, headed up by the Antichrist politically. And verse 11 goes on and it says, "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." So this description of him being like a lamb shows that he's going to be a religious leader more than he is going to be a political leader who is dealing with war. And his coming on the scene is not going to be through war and bloodshed. Rather, it's going to be through smooth talk. He's going to be speaking words of winsome praise towards the Antichrist. Like the first beast, the false prophet is going to be demon-possessed, and he's going to be a master of deception, as we're going to see this morning. This guy will be like a lamb because he's going to be presenting or promising false hope if people will just follow the first beast. But along with the subtle approach using deception to solve the earth's problems, verse 11 says that he's also going to speak like a dragon. So in other words, he comes on the scene making winsome promises to solve the world's problems, but before it's over, he's forcing people with death squads and financial ruin to worship the first beast. So he's going to have two sides. Verse 12 goes on and it says, "He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed." If you remember, 2 weeks ago when we were together, we talked about the Antichrist receiving a fatal wound. Not sure whether he is stabbed with a sword or shot with a gun, but he appears to be dead. And remember, this is going to be the pivotal point where the whole world turns to the Antichrist in amazement to what appears to be a miraculous event. Deception and miracles are going to give the false prophet a global influence as he comes on the scene. So we got five distinguishing marks of this guy. First, he'll appear as a gentle side of evil. And second, he's going to be able to persuade people with supernatural powers. Now, I hope you put your thinking cap on right now, because a lot of times we can read this and we just kind of ho-hum it through. But, you know, if he was here today, which I believe he is on earth today, I believe we're close enough that he's probably here already, along with the Antichrist somewhere. They've not come to power yet, but he's probably here. But if he was here in Wildomar and he brought down fire tonight, be pretty concerned, wouldn't you? Be pretty wowed by a man that could bring down fire. So it says in verse 13, he performs He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. So not only is he involved with the false resurrection of the Antichrist, he'll be mimicking signs that God did in the first half of the tribulation. Remember, we looked at that when we saw fire coming down out of heaven and coming to earth. He's going to be able to do the same thing. I'm not sure if it's going to be reality or not. It might be something that's deceptive and trickery. So he's also going to be mimicking the signs of the two great prophets that we looked at. Do you remember them? When they're in Jerusalem calling down things from heaven, they also call down fire from heaven. So he's going to be able to do that. Verse 14 says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. So listen, people that don't know Jesus Christ during this time are hardly going to be able to perceive the truth. These signs are going to be so spectacular. People are literally going to be mesmerized by them, and they're literally going to be lost with no sense of spiritual direction. They're going to be led by their emotions from the spectacular events. And he's also going to be charged with creating a human robot like the Antichrist that will be so real that people are going to be forced to bow down and worship this robot. Verse 14 says, he's going to be telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. So we know, you know, there's been many false images and people have worshiped these false images all through the Old Testament, but this is going to be a combination of raw pagan worship combined with modern technology that has never been seen before. And you can bet that the results, when this guy gets through, are going to be spellbinding. So we know that he's going to appear as the gentle side of evil. He is going to persuade people with supernatural powers. And third, he's going to fool the masses with the art of deception. Look at verse 15. It says, and it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak. So artificial intelligence is one of the fastest growing technologies in America and around the world right now. And of course, robots are in the forefront of this. There are reports that there are robots being used for dictators in South America and other countries today to do outdoor speeches so they're not assassinated. That's heavy, isn't it? But during the tribulation, artificial intelligence is going to be soaring when the false prophet's on the scene, and he is going to pull together the most advanced AI team that has ever been pulled together before in the world, and he is going to put together something spellbinding that is going to appear to be the Antichrist. I wanted to give you a little bit of taste of where we're at today. We already have artificial intelligence and human robots that are built now, and they're really pretty amazing. Arnie, I wonder if we could go ahead and put one up on the screen and watch this video. It's almost kind of creepy.
Meet Erica. She's the creation of Hiroshi Ishiguro, a professor at Osaka University's Intelligent Robotics Laboratory. Ishiguro has become famous for his pursuit of a lifelike android.
I think that this is the most beautiful face in the world.
She's cute, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Our challenge is to install the intention and desire to this robot.
Cool.
we so, take so without the intention, the Android, you know, the Android cannot be emotional.
Thank you.
And Android cannot understand people's intention and desires, right?
What kind of desires does Erica have?
She wants to be well recognized because she's a kind of a receptionist of this laboratory.
Her job is to be a receptionist? That's
yeah,
the function?
Yeah, receptionist or secretary or something like that.
Do you mind walking me through some of the things she can do?
Ishiguro desu.
Ishiguro-san, konnichiwa. Watashi wa zutto koko ni iru kara daijoubu nan desu kedo.
Wakarimasen.
Kyou wa hima datta node nobiri douga o mite tan desu.
Dou desu ka?
What do you think? Pretty creepy, isn't it? We're all ready for this to happen. When we have robots like that, I look at this scripture and I see the description and I realize that we have never been here before in the history of the world. And it just makes me realize how soon the return of Jesus Christ is. Remember we said that the false prophet was like a lamb. He's winsome and very influential, but it's said that he's also like a dragon. So, first of all, we can never forget that the false prophet is demon-possessed and a murderer like his predecessor, the Antichrist. Just like King Nebuchadnezzar, who made a false statue of himself to be worshipped, and anyone who did not worship that statue would be put to death. Verse 15 says, the false prophet causes as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this guy's not just a winsome smooth talker, he's a murderer. And we can never forget that. So he's going to appear as the gentle side of evil. He's going to be able to persuade people with supernatural powers like bringing fire down from heaven. He's going to fool the masses with the art of deception and artificial intelligence. And he's going to be in charge of a complete financial dictatorship. Look at verse 16. It says, he causes all, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, the free men, and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. You know, once the false prophet begins to put people to death, all who won't worship the image of the beast, he's also going to be given the responsibility to take financial control of every person on earth. Doesn't that sound impossible? Doesn't that sound outrageous? He's going to be able to do it. There are going to be registration centers in every town around the entire world. This is going to be a global undertaking. The only thing that we've seen like this in the past was all the Jews that had to be registered in Nazi Germany as they put them in ghettos to begin with before they killed them. And you know, I know that most of us have been reading, you know, for the last probably 10 years about microchips that can be planted in, you know, your hand or your head, and talking about 666 being developed that way. But, you know, as we get closer to the end, we have different things that seem to be much better than a chip. And let me see a hands here. Has anybody heard of electronic tattoos yet? All right, we got about four people. I had to get read up on electronic tattoos. It's interesting. They're electronic tattoos with nano devices that get implanted in your skin. And it can be programmed by an app on an iPhone or an Android. And these little nano lights in your skin can turn into anything that you want them to be. And they can be programmed to be permanent with no change. And that would certainly happen with the thing that we're talking about today, the mark of the beast. But right now, you can have that on your arm, and you can get your iPhone out, and you can, you know, take your pick of about 50 different tattoos and press the go button, and your arm will light up with that tattoo. And it looks like a perfect tattoo. And, you know, that's for the Friday night party or Saturday night party. And then when you get ready to go back to work Monday morning, you just deprogram and it goes back to normal. Pretty amazing, isn't it? But what's really amazing is the electronic load that these tattoos can take. Huge volumes of information. Everything that the Antichrist would need to know about us could certainly be put on our forehead or our hand. So, you know, whether it's with an embedded chip that the Antichrist or the false prophet wants to use or an electronic tattoo, everyone is going to be demanded to have this thing permanently. So, you know, it's interesting because this mark, we know once you receive it, you're going to go to hell if you receive that. That's what the Bible says. Anybody that takes the mark of the beast will not be forgiven for that. And they'll never enter into the kingdom of God. So it's a pretty sobering point. And one thing I never really considered before, I'm thinking, and this is just my opinion at this point, we're not talking doctrine here this morning now, but I'm thinking that whatever this mark is, whatever it's going to be, I think it may be permanent forever. And I want to tell you why I'm thinking that. We know that the mark that believers receive during the tribulation are going to be, that's a forever mark that's even going to be in heaven. And the Bible tells us that it's the sign of God the Father. I want to read to you from a passage that we studied already, chapter 7, verse 2 of Revelation. John writes, and he says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, don't harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we've sealed the bondservants of God on their foreheads." And then at the end of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 3, John writes and says, at this point, the earth is gone. The old heaven is gone. We got a new earth, a new heaven, and a new Jerusalem going on. And that's where we are in verse 3. It says, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They'll see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. See, that name, God the Father, that they receive during the tribulation is going to stay on theirs as ownership forever. And I'm thinking, those people that refuse God's mark and take the mark of the beast may very well have the mark of the beast on themselves forever as they spend eternity in torment as a sign of who they ultimately committed themselves to. So the false prophet, the master of deception, is also going to have a mark of ownership to tattoo the entire world system at that point. And the important thing to understand is this is not just ownership of everybody on earth. There is a move to get complete control of everybody, like every horrible dictator is. Verse 17 says, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of the name. So what's going to happen is people are going to be blackballed if they don't get this tattoo or whatever all over the world. And if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to bank anywhere. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried it before, but to live on cash around here is already really hard already. There's just a lot of things you need a card for. And during that time, It's all going to be electronic transfers. It's going to be a cashless society. And listen, you're not going to be able to buy or sell clothing or food or transportation or gas or water. So when I'm talking about being blackballed, I'm talking about something that could very well cost your life. You know, you're not going to be able to go to an interview to get a job without being turned in as being a global trader if you don't have the mark. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying there's a move here to take complete control. And the Bible says that when this happens, that people are going to be so fearful and so unloving that husbands are going to turn wives in. Wives are going to turn husbands in. Children are going to turn mother and fathers in. Mother and fathers are going to turn children in. Can I get an amen? No, just teasing. You know, family members will be turning each other in to save their own necks. That's what we're really talking about here. And the entire financial global dictatorship is going to be charged to the false prophet. So we've got five distinguishing marks this morning that we're looking at concerning this character. He's going to appear to be the gentle side of evil. He's going to persuade the world with supernatural powers. He's going to deceive the masses with the art of deception and artificial intelligence. He's going to be in charge of a complete financial dictatorship. And we can never try and create what we don't know about this person or about the Antichrist. And I say that because of the last verse we're looking at here, verse 18. There's been so much controversy over verse 18. And there's been so much speculation over verse 18. It says, here is wisdom. Let who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now, those of us that have been Christians for many years have heard all the conspiracy theories and speculations that have gone on for years, and they've come and gone. So, for centuries, on what 666 means and who it represents, but the truth is, we don't know who it represents yet. We're going to have to wait because that's the way it is. We don't know if he'll be revealed before the rapture or after the rapture when the Antichrist comes to power. One thing we do know is the Greek alphabet is numbered and anyone's name can be added up through the letters of their first and last name. And right now, you guys, there are thousands of names that equal the number 666. So we don't know who it is. We need to wait and we need to be patient and we just need to watch for any global leaders making plans for a peace treaty with Israel who name equals 666 numerically. That's what we're going to be looking for. And at that point, we're going to need to tell our family and friends very quickly because we won't be around very long before we're taken out of here. So we need to realize that the time is short and the Antichrist and the false prophet are very likely alive today somewhere. They've not come to power yet, but I believe that they're probably alive. And the five distinguishing marks that we saw on this false prophet today are he's going to appear as the gentle side of evil. He's going to persuade with supernatural powers like fire coming down from heaven. He's going to be able to fool the masses with the art of deception and artificial intelligence. He'll be in charge of a complete financial dictatorship. And we cannot create what we don't know about the beast. So we've come to the point of application where we close the message this morning. And we always want to ask the question, Lord, what are you trying to say to me today? So the theme that we've been looking at here is deception. Deception from the Antichrist and deception of the false prophet. But maybe the question we need to ask the Lord this morning is, am I being deceived? You know, sometimes when we look into the future like this and passages like this, we just put everything in the future and make a disconnect to ourselves personally. But the problem is, in the Great Tribulation, the deception is going to be so heavy that the majority, the good majority of people, are not going to see the spiritual reality of themselves being duped by Satan himself. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's the application to us this morning? What about the possibility of us being deceived? Many times we deceive ourselves. As we move in our lifestyles away from the Lord, many times we begin to lie to ourselves. And we're making comments to ourselves that this isn't really so wrong. I don't really see things changing that much. It can't really be wrong. Until we get to the point where we're living a double life and, you know, we can't understand why things are falling apart. But what's happening is, you know, it starts off with rebellion towards God, and it ends up with us lying to two people. Lying to God and lying to ourselves. And there's only one way to get past that deception. And the scary thing about this that I was concerned about this morning is this kind of deception blinds you. When you have rationalized long enough a lifestyle that you're living that you knew was wrong at one time, but have grown callous to it, you can't see anymore. And there's only one way to come out of that blindness. It's to come to God. And I think we need a prayer, a special prayer to the Lord of, God, help me see. Because I'm fearful. I'm fearful that I've gotten blind to my lifestyle. And I'm feeling that negative nudge from the Holy Spirit to bring you back to me. You know, a classic example of what we're talking about here this morning is King David himself. Man, committed adultery with somebody else's wife and then killed him. And he lived with it for over a year. Until you read descriptions of what David was going through in Psalms, and it's a horrible lifestyle. David says, I couldn't sleep all night long. And he said, it made my bones ache. You know, it's going to bed at night with a guilty conscience and tossing and turning for 3 hours. And I think all of us have done that at least once. And the Lord, he's there saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden from all this stuff, because I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready just to take you in right now. Let's make a treaty between you and me. That's what God the Father is saying to us this morning. Don't be afraid to come to me. It's all going to be good. I'll forgive you, but you can't be forgiven until you come to me. That's what the Lord is saying about all this deception. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word, Lord. It's your word that gives us breakthroughs, Lord, when we're stuck in the bondage of our own sin and just our flesh and our own blindness, Father. And God, I want to pray for every man and woman who's here this morning, Lord. If you're here and God has been speaking to your heart, maybe you're the one struggling with a conscience that just has not been having any peace. Is that you this morning? You know, there is a peace that passes all understanding. And it comes from Jesus. Whether you have wandered from Jesus, struggling with a guilty conscience, or whether you never, maybe you never really received Jesus Christ and turned your life over to Him, I want to give you a chance this morning. I want to be able to tell you what God is speaking to you right now. God loves you unconditionally. He's paid for everything that you've done. You do not have to live in guilt anymore. If you have a desire to really release your life to Jesus Christ, whether you've lived a double lifestyle, or rather, maybe there's just things going on in your life that you haven't been able to hand over to the Lord, and you have that desire right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just pray it out loud. Pray it with me. You're the one that God, you know God's speaking to you. Just say these words. Dear Jesus, Father, I ask forgiveness for all my sins, Lord. Father, some I've been hiding from you. So foolish, Lord. Father, I've almost convinced myself that it was okay. But deep in my heart, I knew it wasn't okay. So forgive me, God. Oh, Lord, give me the freedom. Give me a clean conscience again. Lord, I want to claim 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, I accept that into my life right now. Thank you. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit so I have the courage to walk with you in the future. And I commit my life to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.